Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on this Monday, March 4th of 2019. Can you believe it? We're already into the month of, we're already into the month of March of 2019. And we're so glad to have you with us, whatever device you may be using to get on board of this radio program. I just claim that you are just ready to receive something tonight from the Holy Spirit, as we're going to study a bit in the Word of God in a bit. Anyhow, we're so glad you could join us. I want to let you know that Punchki Day is tomorrow. Fat Tuesday is tomorrow. You know, one of the donut places here in town has a peanut butter punchki, and I can't wait for that one. But I just hope they save me one and don't just sell out of them, because I want that peanut butter punchki. I want that peanut butter punchki, believe it or not. Big time. Peanut butter cup punchki, I should say. Apparently it's supposed to have peanut butter cups in it, and I really like Reese's peanut butter cups. Maybe it'll have some peanut butter filling, too. Who knows? I'll have to let you know. I'll have to let you folks know tomorrow as to what that is like. As for McMonday, I did not do it yet. That is why someone can let you know what it is. I did not do that. I will say, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Steak and Shake, which wants to remind you that it is always garlic burger time. It's always time for a garlic burger or any other burger you choose at Steak and Shake, with a side of fries and possibly one of their amazing shakes. Last time I was there, they had a strawberry cheesecake shake. Have you tried a strawberry cheesecake shake before or no?
No,
Lauren, you haven't. That one there is delish. It is, has like these little pieces of cheesecake, so you got to use a spoon for that part of it.
Oh, goodness.
And cheesecake and a shake is just delicious. Have you been to a Cheesecake Factory?
No, I haven't.
You've heard of it, though, haven't you?
I have.
Yes, Cheesecake Factory is really good, too. I just wish they had more of them and they didn't have these exclusivity rules that said they can only be, that they have to be this far apart. think there needs to be like double the amount of them to like help decrease the wait times and stuff. Cause, they have some really good stuff. They really do. And I really enjoy it. I mean, I've only been there a couple times and I've had some pretty good stuff. It's been several years, but I've heard some great things about their stuff. Now I've heard of a place that started in Miami. It's called Sugar Factory, and it's supposed to be just like it. What is it about it that really excites me? Apparently they have these huge heaping portions of food. To me, there's something to be said about, like, a huge burger and fries, or a huge thing of chicken tenders and fries, or fried chicken. Stuff like that. All the breaded stuff that hopefully will be in heaven, and I hope it will be in heaven, because then your arteries can't get clogged by it. Because let's be honest, folks, other than like onion rings or something, because I don't like onion rings, if it's breaded, I want it. By breaded, I mean that deep fried coating on the outside of it. Something about it is just makes so many things delicious. And I hope it's going to be there for us in heaven, because aside from the artery thing, it's just really tasty. And it makes everything better. Okay, everything meaning things that are supposed to be breaded. Obviously, some things you don't want breading on them. Like breaded ice cream, it'd probably melt quicker, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it probably melt quicker if it was breaded? So I don't want that in that case.
No.
What about breaded donuts?
That'd be good.
I'm talking like breaded punchkies. Yes, it would add 100 calories or more, but who cares, right?
Right. Who cares?
Yep, about the whole calorie thing. Next time I see, in fact, the next Coke bottle I get, Right when I get it off out of the cooler, I'm gonna be so tempted to just rip off the whole label.
Oh yeah, why?
That way you can't see the calorie counts or any of that.
Oh, that makes sense.
because after all, you know, if you're gonna drink that whole thing, you obviously don't care.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna drink the whole thing. And if they were buy one get one free, chances are I'd be that guy to drink that other one. At least within 24 hours, I would have drank both of them. You know, would you be the same way?
Yeah.
Because I mean, or unless I give it to someone else, but they'd both be gone. Chances are. But. Anywho, I tried the cherry vanilla Coke, and it was, no, orange vanilla Coke, excuse me, and it was really good. It had kind of its own flavor. Did you drink one or no?
Yeah, I tried it.
Do you feel the same way? It has like its very own flavor. It's hard to tell if it's more orange or more vanilla. It's hard to tell. You can taste both, It kind of reminds me of, like, kind of like if ice cream was in a soda form and liquefied. Does it remind you of that kind of?
Kinda.
You feel like that? You feel? What do you feel like it's like? It's like its own taste, kind of?
Yeah, I can't tell what it tastes like more.
Orange or vanilla? I will say this. Pretty good. What I would like to see, come out with is a vanilla X or double X vanilla. What would that be? Enhanced vanilla flavoring.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Or cherry X. Because I feel like on the cherry Coke, they might have scaled back on the cherry. And I can't say they've reduced the sugar, but something about the cherry, it's not as cherry-like on the cherry Coke. Have you noticed that before? So I feel like they need a cherry X, a vanilla X, and eventually an orange vanilla X. What's extra about it is not the size, but the flavor. That's what the X would mean. That'd be a good name for, it'd either be X or extra, you know? But it's really good. But the good thing, one of the good things about this is that now it can be added to, you know, for when we talk about, you know, Coke versus Dr. Pepper and Coke being the winner. Now you can add this to the list. So now you have regular, cherry, vanilla, orange vanilla. If they're going to come out with two vanilla, they need to come out with something else for cherry, don't you think? Because it's only fair, because after all, cherry does sell more than vanilla, and they already know it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so we just got to look at it that way. And folks, a couple more things that I'm going to do the intro, then we're going to, by intro, I mean how to tell people how to be a part, then we're going to get into the word, and then I'm going to exhort you guys tonight about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit Conference starts this week, so I figured tonight I would take a little bit to talk about the Holy Spirit. And what it's going to be tonight is what the anointing is, and what's the presence of God. Okay. So, one quick food thing, and then kind of a reminder for tomorrow and Wednesday. And that is, that real quick food thing is folks, don't forget to check out the cheesy bacon fries at McDonald's while they're still available. Limited time. Because, of course, everyone needs bacon. Don't you think everybody needs bacon?
Yeah.
A little more excited. Does everybody need bacon?
Yep, they do.
Oh yeah. Because they really do. Because everybody needs it here and there, you know. The cheese on the cheesy bacon fries, it's really good. That's what you need to know about it. It's really good. It's just delicious. So make sure to grab yourself a cheesy bacon fries today from your nearest McDonald's. Now, I want to let you know, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we're going to be doing our shows a bit earlier. I'm going to aim for like a 4:30 start or so, and then be done close to 6, just a little before. That way, we'll be able to be to the conference on time. And I'm really excited about what the Lord is going to do this week in this conference. I'm really excited about it. Yes, a lot of the preachers from other states will be there and there, which is pretty cool. But the most exciting thing to me is the expectation for God to move. That expectation for God to move. Okay. I'm going to make this how to listen and be a part really, really short tonight so that I have more time for the word and to exhort. And then obviously we got some sports to get to as well. I'm kind of giving the plan. The sports headlines are, we got some middle and high basketball action to talk about. We got some Piston action to talk about. Michigan State, Red Wings, Tigers. So we got a lot of stuff. So that's part of why I'm keeping the prelims as short as I can so I can get out to all this material. Listeners, you're the word of mouth. You can tell those you know to go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that website is Upfront Entertainment. In the search bar, you'll want to type in Upfront Entertainment. Yep. After you do that, you'll see a button, a link that says Live in Large. Click on that link. After that, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. And then after you click on that, you'll see a button that says Follow Button. Because then you're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. So tomorrow, Wednesday, you'll get notified as we do our shows. Next week, same thing will happen. Also, we have a number where you can call and be a part, and we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not political. As long as it's not political, we can talk about just about anything that you wish to discuss. Okay. Now, the number to call and be a part is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you have the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. We'll go through a call screener. My assistant will answer the phone, and she's going to ask you, you know, what your name is, who your name is, where you're calling from. And then they'll let me know we have a caller, and then I'm going to say, you know, Joe from Google, you're here on the Miracle Man Show. What say you, CB? And once I say, what say you, or whatever I say, or ask how you're doing, whatever, then you'll know that you're able to have the floor. And you can call to praise me, you can call to give me your little rant, as long as it's not political. You can call and ask questions, ask for prayer, basically whatever. And we invite you to do that anytime we do a show. We invite you to call in and be a part, because participation is awesome. Okay. Now, we are going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the show. I thank you for these listeners who have made it a priority, who have made the choice to come and be a part of this program, to learn of you, not just to be entertained and to hear about the sports and to hear about my food life or whatever else is going on, but to learn about you, most importantly, Lord. And I just thank you that this has an impact on people. Thank you that these listeners will have an understanding of what you're about. I thank you that these people come here with open minds and open hearts, ready to receive what you have for them. Yeah. And Lord, I just thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight. I give you, Jesus, I give you permission to just come and interrupt me any way, in any way or at any time that you wish to do so. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 22. Praise God. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Just going to my spot. That's the only reason why I'm being quiet. Actually, let's go to 23. I'm sorry. We already read 22. So we're going to 23. I'm there. I'll begin reading. You can go ahead and catch up to me. And when David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors," he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack their Philistines?" The Lord answered him, "Go attack." Turn the page. "Go attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah, we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your land, and in your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now, Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. verse 7 now. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, God has handed him over to me, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars. And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah. To believe David and his men. And when David learned that Saul, was plotting against him, he said to Keilah the priest, bring the ephod. David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely of Saul's plans to come to Keilah and to destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will. Again, David asked, will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? And the Lord said, they will. So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Zeph. Day after day, Saul searched for him. But God did not give David into his hands. And while David was at Horesh in the desert of Zeph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horam and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, and David remained at Horam. The Zephilites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, isn't David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horam on the hill of Keilah, south of Gezion? Now, O king, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for handing him over to the king. Saul replied, the Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and make further preparation. Find out where David usually goes and who has seen him there. Then tell them he is very crafty. Find out about all the hiding places he uses and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with him if he is in the area. I will track him down among all the clans of Judah. So they set out and went to Zeph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon, in the Arab south of Jezreel. Saul and his men began the search, and when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. And when Saul heard this, he went into the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Sila or Abimelech. And David went up from there and lived in the stronghold of En-Gedi. Let's read chapter 24 as well while we're at it. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, "David is in the desert of En-Gedi." So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild grass. He came to the sheep and went along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands and you to deal for you to deal with just as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a cover of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-struck for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way and called out to Saul, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed down, prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? Today, you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. And some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lift my hand against my master, because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but I didn't kill you. Now, understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come? Oh. Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand. And when David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. And you have just now told me of the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me to the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. All right. Let me just check the time here. Let me just see where my phone is. Where's my... Oh, here it is. Okay. Now. Oh, I realize we have some more time. Let's go to Hebrew. No, actually, you know what? I'm going to exhort on this when I want to get into about the anointing of God. So, you see, in 1 Samuel 24, David is in the cave. Saul is trying to hunt down David. Saul goes in there to He sees him. Then Saul goes back out. David goes back out. David falls down before the king. And then they talk, and then Saul does something. Instead of sitting there trying to kill him, he repents to David. And he thanks David for not taking him out, not killing him. And he claims, you know, David, the Lord is going to reward you for that. And then David swore an oath to Saul. And then basically made him say, you know, promise that you won't cut off my descendants and just, you know, release, that you won't just wipe my name out, you know, even though it was bad. Let's face it, folks. Saul was a wicked, wicked, wicked man. He was a total evildoer. I mean, yes, he repented to David, but he didn't. He had an attitude problem. He had a problem with rebellion. Several different times he tried to kill David. He was just a rough guy. But David had favor with God, big time favor with God. And we're going to keep discovering more next time when we read 1 Samuel 25. Now tomorrow we're going to have Testimony Tuesday. But on Wednesday, we'll come back and we'll have 1 Samuel 25. Now, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit for a little bit. The Holy Spirit is what this conference this week at Living Word Church is all about. Am I going to talk about the conference tonight? Nope, not really. What I am going to talk about is the Holy Spirit himself. Okay. I'm going to talk about first. Well, right now I'm going to talk about what the anointing is and what the presence of God is. First of all, the anointing is the presence of God. And the presence of God is the anointing. I heard Pastor explain that at a Holy Spirit conference back like 12, 13, 14 years ago with their Living Word Church. And he did a great job explaining that. The presence of God, anointing. Anointing, presence of God. Let me explain about this. In order to have the presence of God, in order to have anointing, you have to have the presence of God in your life, in your church. Can you feel the anointing in the presence of God when it's present, like in church, Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And let me challenge you on something. If you are going to a church, and in this church, there might be some word, there might be some music, you know, and that, and there's no anointing on it. If you just go to a dry church, if I were you, I'd get out of that church. Because I want God to move. I want the anointing, the power of God. And I want the presence of God on there, working on the inside. And you know how miracles happen in the church? When there's anointing. Anointing is an atmosphere. We can also feel anointing. You know, if God puts an anointing upon you to flow in it, like, for example, Dr. Buckley flows under the anointing of the prophetic. He explained some things about that last night that I will not get into. Because there's some things that are best left for a pastor/prophet to say. But I will say this. He flows under a prophetic anointing. Are all pastors prophets? No. No. Not all of them are. A pastor is a prophet of God. He prophesies over us from time to time. And we receive. And you may want to know, for those of you who maybe you know Jesus, but you don't necessarily know that much about the anointing and stuff. When the anointing gets upon you, it's just a real thing. And the feeling that you feel, it's just hard to describe. It's really powerful. And it just gets there inside of your soul. And it's just so amazing. And anointing is supernatural. It's not natural. But the thing about the anointing feels natural, it's not anointing. It's not. And yes, there is such a thing as you can feel anointed and all that kind of stuff. I've heard of revivals like this. It can feel anointed and stuff like that, and then only to find out that it wasn't the real deal. Okay, let's talk about the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit uh, is one of the three beings. You know, excuse me. I mean, it's part of the Trinity. Because we always say, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is part of that Trinity that I believe in. And the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you and guide you. He will. He'll show you how to live. He'll give you directions. He'll talk to you. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you won't necessarily hear it through your ear, but you'll just kind of hear it in your spirit, man. But you can just know that it's the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you. You got to make sure, though, that it's the Holy Spirit that's leading you and guiding you and not one of those other spirits that aren't from God. That's really, 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 really important. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks and you know it's audible and you know it's the Holy Spirit. At either rate, when the Holy Spirit speaks, tells you to do something, you better obey. I heard of a story once Dr. Buckley told. And one of the members of this church, he has the voice of the Holy Ghost. Pull this car over now. This guy's like, well, I'm on my way to work. Keep going. Holy Spirit says, pull this car over now. Again, he's trying to get to work. You know, he's trying to get to work. Then he hears it again, pull this car over now. And then he said, yes, sir. Pulls right over. And then, not far at all from where he was, big car accident happened. Car got totaled, and I believe someone died. Had he not obeyed God, had he not obeyed the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, he could have died right there. It's part of that car wreck. He could have died right there. Because he didn't obey God. But he did obey God. Hold over. But it was delayed because God told him a couple of times prior to pull over the car. And he kind of ignored it, kept driving. And then he said it again. The Holy Spirit spoke to him again. And he pulls over the car. And it saves his life. And the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you if you let him. You got to let him. You've got to let the Holy Spirit get in there, in that spirit man. You got to watch what you put in there. You got to watch what you feed your spirit man. Because you got to be able to hear the Holy Spirit when he's trying to lead and guide you. In your life. He just shook the clock. Okay, well, we're okay on that, but. The Holy Spirit is just so precious. It's just an awesome thing. And I love the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Spirit big time. I love Jesus big time. You know, there's a song that Mike Murdoch used to sing. I hope he still sings it, but he came to our church two different times, and he sang this. And I love hearing him sing it. It's so powerful. It's called I'm in Love. It's about being in love with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, oh. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. Sweet Holy Spirit, I'm in love. Yes, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, oh. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. Sweet Holy Spirit, I'm in love. I'm going to sing it one more time because I want this to get into you. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, oh. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. Sweet Holy Spirit, I'm in love. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, oh, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. Sweet Holy Spirit, I'm in love. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. You're a living breath, you're a living hope. In your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our to be overcome by your presence, Lord. I love the power of God. You know, with the power, through the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, through the anointing, chains are broken. Blinded eyes can be made to see. Things can just be broken. Healings can be made manifest. We can get answers from the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is just on the inside of you, you can't stop it. And it's just amazing. Amen. Lord, I thank you right now for this work. Thank you that your Spirit works on the inside of us and on the inside of these listeners so that we can all just be led by you, led by your Spirit, Lord, led by your Holy Spirit. You can just lead us and guide us. And I just thank you, God. You'll reveal yourself to us more and more all the time. Master, give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you know what, listeners? This conference, you can learn more about the Holy Spirit by coming to the sessions. We have a service tomorrow night at 7, with pre-service prayer at 6:15. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we have morning services at 10:30 and evening services at 7 o'clock. The church, Living Word Church, is located a mile north of US 10 on Stark Road, 2010 North Stark Road, right-hand side of the road if you're coming north. And we can't wait to have you there in the house of God to learn about the Holy Spirit. And learn what the Holy Spirit has in store for you, as I know you can't wait to see what he has for you. All right, let's talk some sports. First of all, Midland High basketball. Still alive. On Wednesday, Midland High played Dow High for a third time this year in basketball. The third time. Midland won this time in overtime. 42-40 in a defensive battle. At one point, Dow was up by 13 points. 13 points. They put up like two or three three-pointers within like a 30-second span in order to get up by 13 points. But in the third and fourth quarters, Midland ate away at that, ate away at it, ate away at it. Chip away until with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter, they tied it. For the last like 3 minutes or so of that fourth quarter, and the first little bit of overtime, just seemed like the Nets were rigged. seemed like nobody could get anything to get in. There was a couple different fouls on each team. Both teams ended up having to shoot free throws. And for a while there, Midland could not get a free throw shots or anything else to go in. Luckily, neither could Dow. But then, suddenly in overtime, things started going well for Midland, but not so much for Dow. Dow did get a couple points in the overtime, but not like Midland did. And Midland was able to pull away from that game with a W. Combined between Midland and between football and boys basketball, the two biggest sports, Midland was a combined 5-0 against the rivals, Dow. That, and based on where basketball and football goes, that's the max it can be. So that's pretty crazy that it ended up being that, isn't it? Isn't that pretty crazy, Lauren, that it could be like that?
That's really crazy.
5-0. Five times Dow had a chance to beat Midland, as far as but there were a couple of them ended up being runaways. One of them was the Midland win against Dow in December with boys basketball. And then the Midland-Dow game that was close, football for a while. Dow had chances that they could have got the lead in, like, the second quarter, I believe. Yeah, they had chances, but they were unable to capitalize. You know, the third quarter, still kind of close for the most part, but then third quarter, fourth quarter, Midland just turned on the gas, pulled away big time. But then that first football game, though, at the end of it, Dow was looking to score and get a touchdown, but Dow threw an interception right there, like at the 1 yard line, and Midland ended up winning the ballgame. So, how the other Midland Dow basketball turned out that was at Dow High in February. All I know is that Midland won. I'd have to go back and take a look at that. But in 2017-18, Midland beat Dow big time for football, but then in basketball, twice Midland built big leads against Dow. Twice they went into overtime. Twice Midland lost.
And I
had to watch both of those, and it was pretty bad. And to make matters worse, in both of those cases, Midland girls also lost to Dow too.
Really?
So it was like, other than the football, Midland lost to Dow at all the other big ones, it seemed like. But this time it was like, other than the girls, where Dow is a good team and Midland is kind of young, and hopefully they can get there. My hope is they can get there and be a bit better so they can, Midland can just sweep them clean. We'll have to wait and see what happens there, but then Midland played Mount Pleasant Friday. And Mount Pleasant only had one loss of the entire season going into this. And just for the record, Midland has 6 losses. Mount Pleasant had one. And it was to Flint Carmen Ainsworth a week prior. This time at Midland High, Midland upset Mount Pleasant 52-44. So by like 8 points. Midland had played Mount Pleasant just 12 days earlier in Mount Pleasant Gymnasium. It was actually a snow makeup game from a game that was supposed to be a bit earlier in the season in Mount Pleasant, but both districts had for one thing, called snow days, and two, decided that the game would not be held because of road conditions. So, and Midland had chances to win that game, but they blew them, and Midland lost it. Otherwise, it would have been a bit closer. Midland would have had 5 losses. Mount Pleasant would have had 2. Now 3. But in a way, it all worked out, if you think about it, because it made more separation. Now Midland's got to go play Marquette tomorrow night in Gaylord. And then if Midland is successful in taking down a Marquette team who has a very, very, very tall, well-skilled player, I forget his name. I have to look into this and let you folks know tomorrow. He is very good at what he does, extremely well-skilled. And they have some other good talents. Midland's not so big on size and speed right now. We just have players who want to win. Christian Gordon, who's good on the football team. He's really doing good with basketball, too. Like, these boys just have a will to win. A couple, I think there might be another one or two players who were on that football team who made it to the state semifinals. So, these certain seniors, I guess, winning's just in their blood. And hopefully they can beat Marquette and then get to play the winner of Saginaw Grand Blanc is who they would have to play on Thursday. They have to play the winner of that game. Now Grand Blanc, the winner of that would be in Mount Pleasant, of all places. That's just weird. That's weird to me that Midland would have to play Grand Blanc, or that Midland would have to play Saginaw or Grand Blanc in Mount Pleasant. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But it's how they do them for some reason. It's how they do the districts. These regionals, I think they need to think about how they do them and where they put them, because with football, it's a lot better than this. So hopefully they'll make some changes to it. I was also very disappointed that the band could not be there. Because remember I told you, Lauren, I almost needed the band to be there, remember?
Yeah.
But was afraid maybe they wouldn't be because of some certain rule thing.
Right.
Because I think it's kind of a bad deal they got. If no one makes it to the Breslin, even for the semifinals, if that band's allowed to be there, they better go there. They better be there.
Yeah, they should.
They better be. They better be there, and they gotta, and they better just be. They better be there, and they better be. All hands on deck, playing a lot. Remember I said that?
Yeah.
What that means is like where they're playing more and sometimes faster than what they'd be at some of the other games, if you know what I mean. At basketball, though, usually they only play before the games. They'll be there for like 10, 15 minutes. But then at football, obviously, they're there all night. So, folks, hopefully, I am going to pick the Midland-Marquette game tonight, rather than do that tomorrow night, because I don't know about the time we'll do. So I'm going to do this pick right now, and let me think here. Comic books, 52. Snow City, USA, 49. Because remember I told you about that Son of Swami where he comes up with alternative names for these teams? Remember I told you about that?
Yeah.
Because that's what I was thinking of. Because I would have said Market or something, but I had to use a more appropriate one right now because it just keeps snowing up there in the UP. Just keeps snowing, 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 and it won't stop, seems like. I heard one guy joke on the broadcast the other night, Friday night, and he said, "How do you get up there, Mark? How do you get up to the UP this time of year?" And he said, "You know someone with a snowmobile."
<That's> funny.
And I'm thinking you're just about right. So Comic Books 52, Snow City 49. I think they'll end up playing Saginaw Grand Blanc. Saginaw played Grand Blanc in the regular season a couple weeks ago at Saginaw. Very lively atmosphere. But Saginaw crushed Grand Blanc. I feel like for Midland it would be better if we had to play Grand Blanc. Yeah, because Saginaw beat us twice in the regular season, but maybe third will be the charm.
Maybe.
Well, it's kind of a wait and see, because then if we can do that, then we get to do quarterfinals. Who knows, folks? Could we go to Breslin? Who knows? First things first, though, folks. Gotta beat the Redmen first. That way they just end up being the Redmen rather than the Red Light. Because if Redmen loses, it's the Red Light, you know?
That's funny.
Yep, because that's their mascot up there is the Redmen. So hopefully they'll just be the Redmen and not the Red Light.
Right.
Because otherwise, because Red means stop, which means, you know? And so we'll have to wait and see what happens tomorrow night. No, I won't know until later on tomorrow night after I get home from service. But we'll wait and see. Now to the other basketball stuff. Michigan got a nice win yesterday over Maryland. They're 9 ranked. They could move up a little bit. You have Michigan State with another good win this weekend, so they're still rolling and doing good. I think it's this coming weekend, if not next week, that Michigan State hosts Michigan. And both teams are still doing great things. And SEC action. Kentucky beat Tennessee. This time, Tennessee was ranked higher than. I mean, this time, well, in the rematch, Kentucky was ranked higher than Tennessee, got crushed by Tennessee. So I guess could be a rivalry developing, or at least more of one, down there on the Southern University of UK versus UT. And we'll just have to see what ends up happening with the seeding for Michigan State. I believe Gonzaga is still number one. Let's talk. For the Pistons got a good one last night over the Toronto Raptors at Little Caesars Arena, 104-102. They ended up having to play in overtime. The Pistons had a rather decent lead, but then Raptors ended up pulling up. They had to go to overtime. And then Detroit was able to just keep going, and they beat Toronto. And that Little Caesars crowd last night was the loudest I heard Little Caesars Arena ever. And that really encouraged me. gives me hope that the Pistons could possibly do some things in the playoffs if they can just keep winning. And so we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully they can just keep it going. And just keep it revving. Red Wings, on the other hand, instead of being like that moving car that's doing pretty good, well-oiled machine, like they had, like the Pistons, the Red Wings are like that broken-down car. Or maybe the broken-down aircraft, because you're talking about wings, you know, you need wings to fly an aircraft. And they're not flying so high right now. They just got another loss a couple days ago, this time to the Phoenix Arizona Coyotes, 3-1. And they're still like 6th or 7th in the Atlantic Division, other Red Wings. So, not the greatest. Tigers, they also lost both of their split squad games yesterday. Opening day, we're like 3.5 weeks away. You know, on March 21st, that's supposed to be the first day of spring. Supposed to be. And obviously, you know, spring's going to come, regardless of what Mother Nature does. But it's just, I just say supposed to be, because who knows what tricks Mother Nature has rolled up her sleeve to try to just delay it as much as possible. I hope not, because we got snow outside that needs to melt first before all that can happen. And Caster was saying something, and then I, last night, you know, about it, and I said, I don't know if he could hear it, but I teased and said July 1st. You know, the way it's going right now, it could be July 1st. The way this is going, it almost feels like it, doesn't it? And how slow it's going. Okay, certainly not that bad. Maybe more like May 1st or something, but hopefully not that either, but still, you know, hopefully pretty close to on time. I do see some hope for, I'm seeing that for Sunday we're supposed to be in like the mid-40s, but unfortunately we have a price to pay on that one, as it's going to be raining. Which, I think the rain could help us get some of the snow out, but I'm going to see us have some 40s with the sun being out too, because that's what's going to help get stuff to grow, so that hopefully we can get some stuff growing before April gets here. Because I don't like it when April gets here and there's not a flower to be found and everything's dead. Because that's what's happened the last few years. I know, right? I feel like when you were younger, there used to be more stuff out by the time early April hit. Doesn't it seem like it?
Yeah.
These days, it's been so cold in March, though, that it's made it harder. Hopefully, yeah, we'll need some rain to help with that, but hopefully it can be warmer so that all the pre-stuff we get will be rain, and then it won't go below freezing and that. And even if we can beat us some 40s in that, maybe a few 50s, a good amount of 40s after like the even especially after like St. Paddy's Day, that can help quite a bit. We'll have to wait and see what happens though, folks. So, folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow.